The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. For the next hour, we shall be reading a variety of stories. Our first story today is called I'm a Unicorn. And it is about a little unicorn, of course. So, here we go. I am moonlight white. I have a magical horn. I look a lot like a horse, of course. But I am a unicorn. There she goes. She's a little unicorn. She's a very little one. My horn can make water clean. And there she is. All the animals are around a dirty puddle. And the little unicorn is sticking her horse in it. Her horn in it. Or heal a hurt. And there, the little unicorn is helping a little fox with a sore leg. I can be strong and fierce. And there she is looking at a lion and being very fierce, as the lion's roaring from another rock. But I can be sweet and gentle. And there she is playing with some kids, and they're having lots of fun. I can frolic in the forest, and there she is with the animals. They're all playing together. Three little dwarfs are watching, and they have great big smiles on their faces. I prance in the fields. I'm a force of nature. I am a unicorn. Sometimes I gallop with my herd. We play hide and seek. There's a picture of all the little unicorns hiding, and the words say, can you find us all? There's many unicorns hiding behind trees and rocks and swimming in the water, hiding behind shrubs and other bushes in the forest. One's up a tree. They're having fun playing hide-and-seek together. Other times, I love to be alone in the quiet of the dawn. Shh. I am magic. I am a mystery. I am a unicorn. Do you believe in me? I believe in you. And that's the end of I'm a Unicorn. Our next book today is called A Surprise Garden. And it's about Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Eeyore. Now, I know it's September and it's not really time to plant a garden, but we're going to read this story anyways. It was early summer in the 100-acre wood. Rabbit's garden was filled with flowers and vegetables that were ready for picking. How does your garden grow? Pooh asked Rabbit. These vegetables stay hidden underneath the dirt, Tigger said. Then old Longears digs up the loot when they're ready, just like buried treasure. So he's planted some things that he likes. Carrots. It looks like cabbage. And there's pumpkins. I don't know if rabbits really like pumpkins, but we'll see. Not really, said Rabbit. First, I plant these little bitty things called seeds. Rabbit held out a hand to show his friends what they look like. And as a little surprise, I've got a packet for each of you. These are my special surprise seeds. You have to plant them and see what grows. So there's a little bag for Tigger, and there's one for Eeyore, and there's one for Pooh Bear. Oh, my, said Piglet. I don't know much about planting a garden. Nonsense, said Owl. Like my old Uncle Cuthbert used to say, just give them some room and flowers will bloom. Flowers and vegetables do need room to grow, said Rabbit. There are some simple rules to planting. If you follow them, your seeds will sprout. Woo-hoo-hoo, shouted Tigger. Sprouting seeds, I can hardly wait. There's Owl, too. And now Tigger is here. We hope he doesn't jump all over the garden, because he does jump. "Now listen carefully," Rabbit said, "and I'll tell you my rules. Till and hoe, pull out the weeds. Then dig a hole to hold the seeds. Plant them in a sunny spot, then water them, but not a lot. There's one more thing you need to know. It takes some time for seeds to grow." Next, Rabbit gave each of his friends a little patch of dirt in his garden where they could plant their seeds. "A honey tree would be a perfect plant for me," said Pooh. "I bet you I'll grow a stupendous beanstalk right up to the sky," cried Tigger. "Come on, Long Ears, let's get a plantin'." Pooh and his friends followed Rabbit's directions carefully. Pooh first, Pooh and Piglet hoed and raked the soil till it was nice and smooth. Then Tigger dug some perfect-sized holes. Finally, Roo planted the seeds in a sunny spot, while Owl carefully watered them. But now came the hard part, waiting for the seeds to grow. Each day, Pooh and his friends stopped by Rabbit's garden to check on their seeds. And each day, they went away feeling a little disappointed because they didn't see anything growing. "These seeds have got a lot of catching up to do," Tigger said with a sigh. Poor Roo couldn't wait much longer. "What if the seeds don't sprout and we run out of patience?" he asked. Now, said Rabbit, "you've got to give seeds a chance. Now everything grows in its own time. Take good care of your seeds, give them sunlight and water, and I promise they'll grow." Pooh looked very thoughtful. "Perhaps we didn't follow Rabbit's gardening rules," he said. "Fiddlesticks," said Owl, shaking his head. "We did exactly what he told us to do." Suddenly, Roo had an idea. "Sometimes Mama takes extra special care of me with a little treat," he said. "Hey, I think you got something there, Roo boy," said Tigger. "We do need to do something special for each for our own seeds." So each of Pooh's friends came away with his very own seed-caring idea. Piglet covered his patch of dirt with a soft pink blanket so his seeds would not get cold. Tigger put on his good luck hat and did a tiggerific rain dance. "Hoo, hoo, hoo," he cried. "Rain, rain, shower, shower. Bring down some flower power." "Do you think it's good to cover up your seeds with a blanket? Then it won't get any sun. I don't think that's a very good idea at all." Owl tickled his patch of dirt with a feather to cheer up his seeds. "Won't they be tickled pink," he said. Meanwhile, Roo and Piglet hurried over to Roo's house to get his magic wand. When Roo returned to the garden, he waved it over his little patch. Then he did the same thing for each of his friends' seed patches. "Abracadabra, alakazoo," cried Roo. "Please grow for Tigger, Owl, Piglet, and Pooh." Let's see what happens on this next page. Shortly thereafter, Pooh went home to get his honey pot. When he came back to the garden, he sprinkled the dirt with tiny drops of honey. "Bother," said Pooh, "I do hope this sweetens them up. Honey always works for me." A few days later, all the seeds began to sprout. First, Pooh's friends saw little buds on the flower stem and baby vegetables. Then the buds turned into blooms, and the vegetables got bigger. "What a spectacular surprise these seeds turned out to be," cried Tigger. There were bright yellow sunflowers for Tigger, pink pansies for Piglet, string beans for Owl, cherry tomatoes for little Roo, but nothing for Pooh. Oh dear, what's happening here? Poor Pooh looked at Tigger's tall, sunny flowers. He couldn't figure out why his seeds weren't growing. "Think, think, think," he said. "I think I did everything I was supposed to do, and I even tried to be patient." Pooh's friends were so pleased with their little crop of vegetables and flowers that they decided to pick some for Rabbit as a thank-you present. First, Tigger cut down his sunflowers, and when he did, the garden area was suddenly bathed in sunlight. "Old Longhairs will absolutely love my blossoming bloomers," said Tigger. A few days later, the most surprising thing started to happen. With Tigger's flowers out of the way, the sun began to shine right on Pooh's garden patch, and his seeds began to sprout and grow. Pooh's seeds grew into the best plant of all. "Those are the biggest, plumpest strawberries I've ever seen," said Rabbit. "Oh, thank you," said Pooh, although he wasn't sure what he had done. "It just goes to show, patience works wonders, Pooh," said Rabbit. And he added, "I'll have to add patience to my list of gardening rules. Make sure you find a sunny spot, then till and rake and hoe. Be patient. It may take a while to see your garden grow." And those certainly were beautiful, big, fat, juicy strawberries there in Pooh's plant, the place, Pooh's little plot. Everybody's looking at them and saying, "Boy, those look delicious." Now, our next book is called Pink Lion by Jane Porter. Here we go. Arnold's life was just right. Now, Arnold was a little lion, but he was pink for some reason. His family loved him, but for some reason, his family were flamingos. Pink flamingos. I don't know how he turned up pink or why he wasn't with a lion mom, but he had flamingos as his parents. They ate the nicest food, and every day they played games down at the waterhole. And there he's playing with his flamingo brothers and sisters. One day a growling gang bounced by. "It's a pink lion," they said, "living with a lot of birds. What's he doing here? He's supposed to be part of our family." And these were growling golden lions, just like you expect lions to be. "I'm a lion," said Arnold, puzzled. "Yes, look at your face in the water," said one of the lions. It was true, they did look alike. They had the same curly hair and whiskers. Could they really be related? "Come along with us," said the lions. "You should be out roaring and hunting." Arnold thought perhaps he would give it a try. "This is how we hunt," said the lions, and off they raced. But Arnold wasn't sure he could run that fast. There go all the lions. And Arnold was just not fast enough. "Next, some washing," said the lions. "It's easy. Just stick out your tongue and lick." And there's a yellow lion, a golden lion, licking his paw with his big tongue. Now, Arnold was not used to the furry taste, and he wished he had his soap and sponge. Being a lion was very different from life at home. "Now, let's roar," said the lions. "All you have to do is open wide and let it out. Roar, roar, roar." "Squawk," said Arnold. "I'm sorry," he said. "You've been very kind, but I just can't do it. I guess I'm not a proper lion. I think I'll go back to my family now." But when he got home, something terrible had happened. A very nasty crocodile had moved into their water hole. "Excuse me," said Arnold. "This is our water hole." "Not anymore," said the crocodile. "It's time you and your feathery friends moved on. I live here now." Arnold didn't know what to say. He looked up at the sky. He looked at the ground. And then a strange feeling like a hairy ball rose up from deep inside him and burst out of his mouth with a mighty roar. And the other lions heard Arnold calling. Together they chased that crocodile till he wished he had never seen the water hole. And Arnold's roar was the loudest and fiercest of them all. After that, life for Arnold went back to being just right again. And bath time with his new cousins was more fun than ever. Now he found lion cousins, but he still liked his flamingo family. And there they all are, playing in the water together. Flamingos, golden lions, and Arnold the pink lion. And that is the end of that book. Our next story is called Rick and Rack's Woodland Adventure. Rick woke up to the sound of scratchy noises and thumps outside the den he shared with his brother. Poking Rack, he whispered, "Wake up! I'm scared." "What's there to be scared of?" asked Rack with a yawn. Just then a dark shadow darkened their doorway. That's what there is to be scared about," said Rick. He tried to hide behind his big brother. Thump, thump, thump. The old tree above the den shook as bark fell off. The leaves shivered and the roots quivered. Rick dug his sharp nails into Rack's fur. "Ouch," said Rack. "Calm down. Remember that song we learned in raccoon school?" he sang. "Fear can be a friend, or fear can be a foe. That's something everyone needs to know." Under his breath, Rick mumbled, "Ho, ho, ho." He didn't see how fear could be his friend. He did not like to feel scared. "Look," said Rack, peeking out of the den. "It's only Buford Bear. He's eating our tree to drive the bees away from the hive. He wants to get their honey." "Watch out," said Rick. "Those bees are mad, and they could sting." "Right, brother. Being a little afraid of bees makes us more careful. That kind of fear is our friend." Just then Buford saw them. "My, my, are you two coming out to help me get some honey?" "Oh, no," said Rick. "Bees sting. They can hurt. Aren't you afraid of them?" "Me? Afraid? But I'm big and strong. Why should I be afraid?" "You mean you're never afraid, Buford?" asked Rack. "Nope, never." "Boo," said Rick, sneaking up behind. "Oh," howled Bear. Howled Buford. Rick laughed. "See, I scared you." "No, a bee stung me," replied the bear. "Ow! Maybe I should be a little more careful." And with that, Buford the bear lumbered away. "I don't believe Buford Bear," said Rick. "Isn't everybody afraid of something, Rack?" "Yes, but some, like Buford, don't want to admit they're scared. Others are afraid too much. They're scared of things that they don't really need to worry about. That's when fear is a foe, getting in our way and making us unhappy." Rack thought for a minute. "Rick, I'm going to take you to meet someone like that. She lives on the far side of the woods. Are you afraid to come with me?" "No," said Rick, but his voice had a funny squeak in it. He had never been to the far side of the woods. Through the forest, the raccoon brothers went. They squeezed under fallen trees, swam across a stream, climbed over trees, scrambled through hollowed-out logs. Finally, they came to the edge of the woods. But just as they stepped out into the sunlight, a loud screech filled the air. Rick and Rack looked at each other, then raced back into the dark forest. As soon as Rack found a hollow log, he jumped inside, and Rick followed close behind. Safe inside, the little raccoon took a deep breath. "Phew," he sputtered, "what's that awful smell?" "Yuck," said Rack, holding his nose. "I can't stand it." "It doesn't bother me," said a new voice. "Who's that?" said Rack. "Hey, boys, it's me," the new voice echoed through the darkness in the log. Rick and Rack looked through the knot hole in the log and saw two yellow eyes. "Who are you?" asked Rack, his voice trembling. The two eyes blinked. "It's me, Boo." The startled raccoons jumped out of the log and ran into a maze of the trees. They quickly lost each other, scrambling in opposite directions to get away from those very scary eyes. "Rick," called Rack. "Rack," called Rick. Suddenly, Rick realized he was alone in the woods. Then Rax started to sing loudly. Fear can be a friend or fear can be a foe. It's something everyone needs to know. Rick heard the song faintly at first. Then he sang an answer as loud as and as clear as he could. Fear can be a friend or fear can be a foe. Their brothers listened and sang. They found each other at last, right back at the lock where they had started. They looked around for those two scary yellow eyes. Suddenly, out of the log popped Smelly the Skunk. Hi, guys. Boy, did I scare you. Ha, ha, ha. Ah, we knew it was you all the time, said Rack. Sure, said Smelly. Well, I'm going back to sleep. Drop in again sometime. Rack, you were just as scared as I was, weren't you? Yes, but that kind of fear wasn't good. If we had only stopped and looked, we would have seen it was only Smelly. Well, when we ran from the screech before at the edge of the woods, was that an all right kind of fear? Asked Rick. Well, I think so. It was an eagle, and they like to eat little raccoons like us. So our fear helped us to look for safety. And now, little brother, let's get back to the edge of the woods. I still want you to meet someone. Back through the woods they went. Finally, in a towering tree, they found a jittery-looking creature who never stopped moving. Excuse us, Cheryl Squirrel. Oh, you surprise me. What is it? I'm busy, you know. I'm always busy. We have a question. Are you ever afraid? Me? Afraid? I'm always afraid. You know what I'm afraid of? I'll tell you. I'm afraid of other animals not liking me. What if they laugh at me? What if they chase me? What if? What if? What if? Oh, me. I'm afraid of new things. Loud things. Strange things. I'm so afraid of fear. I don't know what to do. That's why I run around in circles and up and down, you know. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I live my life full of fear. Rick and Rack looked at each other and crept away while Cheryl was still talking. She lives with all those fears. That's no fun, Rick said. Right, those aren't friendly fears. She doesn't have any real reason to be so afraid all the time. Many of her fears are in her own imagination. If she would just stop and think or ask questions, she wouldn't be so afraid. But some fears are good, right? Uh-huh. If there's danger and you feel scared, that's good, because it keeps you from getting hurt. And that's when fear is our friend. Just then Rick heard a loud growl, and he jumped. But when he held himself very still and listened, he heard the growl again, and he laughed. It was his stomach, telling him it was time to go home for supper. The raccoon brothers made their way through the forest again. After a big supper of water snails, crayfish, and mushrooms, Rick lay down for a long day's rest. Suddenly, he woke to the sound of a loud scratching back and forth right by the doorway of the den. Oh, no, he thought. Maybe something is trying to get through our door. Or maybe a human is sawing down our tree. Rick's heart started to beat faster, and his paws got sweaty. His eyes grew bigger, and his tummy turned over, and he started to think, what if, what if, what if? Suddenly, he slapped his paw loudly on the ground and told himself, stop that! He made such a noise that Rack woke up spluttering. What's that? What's happening? Rick took a deep breath, then bravely walked to the front door. Fear can be a friend, or fear can be a foe. It's something I'm finally starting to know. He sang the little song quickly to himself. As he walked, he felt less afraid. His heart didn't beat as fast, and his tummy felt calmer. He poked his head out through the door, and what did he see? Elwood Elk shining his antlers on the side of the tree. Elwood stopped when he saw Rick and said, oh, please excuse me. He turned away, looking very proper and very proud. Rick smiled, sighed, and settled back into his den. He told his brother, go back to sleep, Rack. It's nothing to be scared of. I found out what the noise was, and I took care of it. Isn't it great that we don't have to be afraid of every little thing?" And with that, he snuggled down and fell into a deep sleep. And that's the end of that. Our next story is called Captain Rusty Beard's New Rules. Captain Rusty Beard loved being a pirate, mostly. "I just wish there weren't so many rules," he grumbled, thumping the pirate rule book. He didn't seem to be allowed to do any of the things he really wanted. "I'd like a pet dog," Captain Rusty Beard said one day. "Pirates don't have dogs," said the first mate, looking astonished. "A parrot is the only pet for a pirate captain. Look in the rule book." "My feet ache," said Captain Rusty Beard another day. "I think I'll get myself a nice comfy pair of pink slippers." "Pirates don't wear slippers," said the boatswain in a shocked voice. "They wear stiff leather boots. It's rule number 5. "But leather boots give me blisters," Captain Rusty Beard grumbled. One afternoon, Captain Rusty Beard looked down through the clear water and saw dozens of oyster shells on the seabed. "Let's dive for pearls," he cried. "Pirates don't dive for pearls." "Dive for pearls," said the cabin boy with a gasp. "We're supposed to rob them from other ships. Do you know the pirate rule book at all?" Captain Rusty Beard flung the rule book down on the deck and jumped on it up and down. "I'm tired of being told what pirates don't do," he roared. "From now on, I'm going to decide on the rules." At first, the crew members were worried. What if other pirates laughed at them? But after a while, they started to enjoy themselves. After all, sheepskin slippers were a lot cozier than those leather boots. The captain's pet dog knew some good tricks, and they found more pearls by diving for them than by robbing other ships. "This is the life for me," said the captain. And the other pirates joined in and said so too. Soon every pirate on the high seas had heard about Captain Rusty Beard's new rules. And can you guess what? They all wanted to join his crew. Can you imagine that? And here's a quick poem. The old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, and he called for his bowl, and he called for his fiddlers 3. Every fiddler had a fine fiddle, very fine fiddle had he. Oh, there's none so rare as can compare with King Cole and his fiddlers 3. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Free to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at NorthCarolinaReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.